Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
The Black Effect Podcast Festival is back. We're partnering with Nissan, so pull up to their exclusive lounge to get a special look at the all-new 2025 Nissan Kicks and Nissan Rogue. The Nissan Rogue S is more affordable than CR-V and RAV4 and features available 12.3-inch touchscreen display, while the all-new Nissan Kicks holds it down with a totally redesigned interior cabin with features like available wireless Apple CarPlay and available panoramic moonroof. Relax and see how Nissan is leveling up the game. Come kick it. April 26th at Pullman Yards in Atlanta. Get ready for culture, community, and good conversation.
The best moments happen when you're with your people, laughing, vibing, and just enjoying life. Coke is making those moments even sweeter. Share a Coke is back, and it's all about sharing with the whole crew. Doesn't matter if it's your bestie or bro, there's a can with their name on it. So grab one for the squad and make some memories. But hurry, because these Coca-Cola limited edition bottles and cans won't be here forever. Don't miss your chance to share a Coke with all your favorite people.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And now, a next-level moment from AT&T Business. Say you've sent out a gigantic shipment of pillows, and they need to be there in time for International Sleep Day. You've got AT&T 5G, so you're fully confident. But the vendor isn't responding, and International Sleep Day is tomorrow. Luckily, AT&T 5G lets you deal with any issues with ease, so the pillows will get delivered and everyone can sleep soundly, especially you. AT&T 5G requires a compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G network.
We continue with our American stories. Up next, the story of Thomas Dorsey, a musician and a songwriter, a gospel writer, not to be confused with Tommy Dorsey, the band leader of the 1930s. This is the story of Thomas Dorsey, who helped change and shape gospel music in American black churches. And he's also the composer of Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Here to tell the story is Robert Mirovich, and he's the founder and editor of the Journal of Gospel Music. Take it away, Robert.
Thomas Andrew Dorsey was born in Villarica, Georgia in 1899. Villarica was a very interesting town in that, despite the segregation of the era in the South, it was a town run by African Americans. So he grew up in an African American community that was sort of self-governing. His father was a pastor, a minister. In those days, often churches didn't have their own minister. So he would go around to the different churches at different Sundays and be their minister, be their pastor for the day so that they could get their worship service. His mother was very religious. She played the organ. In fact, even though Thomas Dorsey emulated his father very much, he often said his mother was his greatest source of spirituality. But he did emulate his father. They bought him a little cane and a hat, and he would practice being a preacher. He would go and have his own little church service by himself. He'd hang up his cane and preach to probably the animals. But he was very talented in music. He had some music lessons on the piano, but he was essentially self-taught, as many gospel artists in his day were. But he was not playing religious music at the time. He was much more interested in vaudeville blues, jazz, the popular music of the day, particularly listening to the blues singers like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey. And so he developed his own piano style where he would go around to various homes that would have what they call house rent parties. He would play these events, and eventually he migrated to Chicago, and he became popular in Chicago for his, they called him the whispering pianist, because he could play so quietly at these house rent parties that the neighbors wouldn't get upset and call the police on them. But he also got involved in the music business. He worked for Ma Rainey. He was in charge of her Georgia Wildcats jazz band, so he worked with her on the road. He helped Vocalion Records blues artists to make records by sort of teaching them how to be good studio artists so that whatever they did on the stage would translate well on record. He wrote songs. He wrote blues. He did all of those things. And in 1921, as he's living in Chicago, he reluctantly, by the way, goes with his uncle to the National Baptist Convention, and he hears Reverend Nick sing a brand new kind of song that comes out of a new book out of the Baptist Convention called Gospel Pearls. The song is called I Do, Don't You. And Reverend Nick is singing this song, and he sees how the blues and this new sacred music kind of connects. He sees how Nick's uses vocal ornamentation and pauses and draws the people in. And he's like, this is exactly the Atlanta nightclubs that I used to hang out, look at. And so he decides, I want to write sacred music. So he writes a song, If I Don't Get There, in 1921, 1922. It's published in the next issue of Gospel Pearls. And then he goes about his business. That's when he starts working with Ma Rainey. That's when he teams up with Tampa Red, and they start writing and recording songs called Hokum. And these were kind of like double entendre, funny, kind of bluesy, jazzy songs that were very innuendo in nature. But he was always writing these songs, he didn't necessarily call them gospel songs all the time, but he was writing these sacred songs, sacred hymns. But they had this lift, the same lift that he was putting in his blues, he was putting in these songs. But getting nowhere with the churches, because at that time in Chicago, as in most northern churches, African-American churches at that time, this kind of lively, joyful, blues, jazz-based music wasn't accepted in the church. They thought this was not necessarily the kind of worship music that was becoming of a Christian. This sounded like the music of the club. So Dorsey felt he was being thrown out of more churches than he could imagine with his songs. They were sacred songs, but they had this lilt. Fast forward to 1930. He has written a song called If You See My Savior, written about a neighbor who passed away. I was getting nowhere with this song, but at the 1930 National Baptist Convention, once again in Chicago, a woman out of St. Louis by the name of Willie Mae Ford Smith sings this song.
I am coming home.
And the convention goes crazy. They love this song. Where can we get this song? Who wrote this song? We know nothing about this. So somebody at the convention who knew Dorsey goes and tries to find him, drags him back to the convention and says, this is the man that wrote If You See My Savior. And this very, you know, very conservative National Baptist Convention, who kind of ignored him since he wrote the first song in his book, first and only song for their book, Gospel Pearl, said, young man, you can set up your booth here and sell your songs as long as you want. And that was sort of the moment where Thomas A. Dorsey realized that these gospel songs he was writing finally had a chance of being successful. After the 1930 National Baptist Convention, Dorsey continued to sell his songs. In the meantime, there was a new pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church on Chicago's South Side. Dr. Smith came in from Birmingham. And Dr. Smith wanted his church not only to have the very austere sort of silk stocking musical department that he was given. I mean, as the pastor, is very classically oriented, very straight, that they sang hymns and anthems and oratorios and Bach and Beethoven and all that. But he wanted a little of the feel of the Southland in his church too, because he was a new migrant. And he recognized that new migrants were coming to Chicago whose memory of the South and memory of worship services were probably more like Dorsey's songs than the anthems they were singing at church. So he wants something like this in his church, but he doesn't know how to do it. So he contacts a friend of his by the name of Theodore Fry, and he asks Fry, can you help me get some of this old Southland music in my church? And Fry is not 100% sure how to do it. So he had met Dorsey at that 1930 convention. They'd become friends. And he said, let's put something together for them. So in late 1931, Dorsey and Fry create what is now considered the first modern gospel chorus. It was debuted in early 1932. And you can imagine at a church with a very austere music ministry, with high expectations for music. And here comes this chorus, probably comprised mostly of migrants, but some old settlers as well. And they're singing, you know, "I'm on the battlefield for my Lord," and they're clapping and they're swaying, and Dorsey's playing the piano. Sounds like barrel house music. And that could have gone over like a lead balloon. People could have been embarrassed, thinking, you know, these old fools aren't singing anything, but they loved it. Well, the next week, Dr. Smith at Ebenezer was invited to speak the sermon at Dr. Junius Austin's anniversary of being pastor at Pilgrim Baptist Church in Chicago. Normally, Dr. Smith would have taken his senior choir with him for that event. Instead, he takes the gospel chorus. And the gospel chorus wows the Pilgrim Baptist Church congregation, same as they did with the Ebenezer Baptist Church. And Dr. Austin's sitting there looking at this. Somehow he found out that Dorsey was a member of Pilgrim. And so he approaches Dorsey at some point and says, "I want you to set up one of those things that you have at Ebenezer here." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, one of those choruses? He said, "Yeah, get me a gospel chorus at Pilgrim." Well, Edward Boatner was the musical director at Pilgrim at the time, hated this idea. Said, "Well, you can have Dorsey run this gospel chorus if he's not paid." So Dorsey did it anyway. He did it. He took the job at Pilgrim. And all of a sudden, you start to see every week in the Chicago Defender, other churches in Chicago, they're going to have a gospel chorus. The word is spreading that Dorsey and Fry have something going on that's really appealing. And so in 1932, you have this explosion of gospel choruses around Chicago.
And you've been listening to Robert Mirovich, founder and editor of the Journal of Gospel Music, telling the story of Thomas Dorsey and how he and others shaped the music, gospel music, of Chicago, and in the end, of African-American churches across the country, Dorsey being the composer of Take My Hand, Precious Lord, and many others. When we come back, more of this remarkable story. Thomas Dorsey's here on Our American Stories.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.
Hi, it's Jenny Garth. We all know the importance of taking care of our physical and mental health. But what about our sexual health? I've been there, feeling totally stuck when it comes to my libido. That's why I started taking Addy. And let me tell you, I've seen firsthand what a difference it can make in how you feel. Addy is the only FDA-approved pill clinically proven to help certain premenopausal women have more interest in sex, have more satisfying sex, and lower the stress from low libido. Addy has helped hundreds of thousands of women get their drive back, including me. Talk to your doctor or visit ADDYI.com to learn more about Addy, the little pink pill. Individual results may vary.
Addy, or flibanserin, is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have had low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. This low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in children, men, or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1-2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. This risk increases increases if you take certain prescriptions, OTC or herbal medications, or have liver problems, and can happen when you take Addy without alcohol or other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of Addy's ingredients. Allergic reaction may include hives, itching, or trouble breathing. Sometimes serious sleepiness can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including boxed warning, at Addy.com/PI.
Addy.
Visit ADDYI.com to learn more about Addy.
What's good, fam? The Black Effect Podcast Festival is back and taking over Pullman Yards in Atlanta on Saturday, April 26th. And it's going to be a whole vibe. Doors open at 11 a.m., so you already know it's an all-day celebration of Black excellence. And we're partnering with Nissan to bring you an event you won't want to miss, because it's all going down in the Nissan Lounge. If you haven't seen the all-new 2025 Nissan Kicks or the Nissan Rogue yet, this is your moment. From available intelligent around-view monitor to available Bose Personal Plus sound system, the all-new Nissan Kicks is ready, whether you're cruising through the city or hitting the highway. The Nissan Rogue S is more affordable than CR-V and RAV4. With available HD enhanced intelligent around-view monitor with moving object detection and a standard VC turbo engine. So pull up to the Nissan Lounge to explore their cutting-edge features, snap some epic pics, and see which ride matches your energy. Music, love, culture, and community, all in one place. So come through, show out, and make some memories. Tickets are on sale now at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival.
Have you ever looked around at your crew and thought, man, these are my people? The ones who turn the smallest moments into memories you'll be talking about for years. The folks who show up when you need them and make your life so much better. Well, now you can make those moments even sweeter because Share a Coke is back. And this time, it's all about celebrating friendships. Whether you're hanging out, watching the game, or just chopping it up, there's a Coke for everyone. From bestie and bro to classic names like David and Sarah, these special cans and bottles are made for your whole squad. So grab one, crack it open, and toast to the people who make life worth celebrating. But don't wait, they won't be around forever. So grab one for everybody, pop the top, and keep the good vibes flowing. Next time you're making memories, don't miss your chance to share a Coke with all your favorite people.
Click fast and save big. Shop our Blinds.com Spring Cyber Monday sale happening right now and elevate your space with brand new custom window treatments today. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments, offering you professional support and styles that fit any budget. From classic shutters and bamboo shades, even motorized shades for your outdoor space, Blinds.com has something for everyone with honest, upfront pricing and no hidden fees. DIY or let us handle everything from measure to install. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations. Our design experts will help guide you from start to finish with free samples sent directly to you so you can try before you buy. Plus, every order includes our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com Spring Cyber Monday sale going on right now. Save up to 45% with minimum purchase, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we continue with Our American Stories and with Robert Morovich, the founder and editor of the Journal of Gospel Music, telling the story of Thomas Dorsey and the broader story of African-American gospel music and its influences in and around Chicago in the 1930s. Take it away, Robert.
In August of 1932, Dorsey is asked to come down to St. Louis. So he's going to go down there and listen to some gospel choir sing. Now, his wife is almost ready to give birth to their first son, his wife, Nettie Dorsey. And he's not sure he wants to go because he's afraid, you know, she's going to give birth any minute. He wants to be there. But Nettie says, go ahead. I'm fine. He kind of gets a bad feeling, but he said, well, I'll go.
It was in a revival. And my wife was to become a mother. I went away with the feeling that she'd make a lovely, lovely mother when I came back. I knew my people were well when I left home, and they sent for me to come to the door. As a boy brought me in a telegram. I took it and read it. I almost fell out. says, hurry home. Your wife just died. I don't know how you would accept that, but I couldn't accept it at all. And a friend of mine put me in the car. He took me right home. I got home. I jumped out and ran in to see if it was really true. And one of the girls just started crying and said, Nettie just died, Nettie just died, Nettie just died, and fell in the floor. The baby was left alive. But the next 2 days, the baby died. Now, what should I do then and there? And then they tried to tell me things that would be soothing to me. But none of it's never been soothing to me from that day to this day.
So he's going on like this for a few days, and Theodore Fry decides, you know, I better do something about this. So he says, you know, Dorsey, let's go, let's have something to eat. Let's just go out, get out, get some fresh air. Let's talk. It'll do you some good. So they go to this community center and have dinner. And after dinner, there's a piano there. It's a grand piano there. And so Dorsey kind of wanders over to the piano after dinner and starts playing Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. And he's thinking, this is my cross. My wife is gone. My baby is gone. This is my cross, just like Jesus. But he starts playing around with the melody because he's a jazz blues trained. He kind of does some little ornamentations, and he comes across a different melody, a little different variation of the melody. He starts putting words to it. Blessed Lord, take my hand. And he's playing, and he finally says, Fry, come over here. Listen to this song. And Fry comes over, and he's playing it. And Fry said, it sounds pretty good, but why are you calling him Blessed Lord? And he said, because Lord is a blessing. That's what Dorsey says. Fry said, why don't you say Precious Lord? I said, okay, tries Precious Lord. It sounds pretty good.
And I called the Lord some one thing, and one of the others says, no, that's not his name. Say Precious Lord. I said, that does sound good. And it's got several amens on Precious Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I started singing right then and there. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me stand. I am tired, I am weak,
He introduces the song to the congregation one Sunday morning, right there after, you know, the funeral service. He's written the song, and he's thinking, this is his testimony. This is my testimony. Take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am weak, I am worn. But the congregation hears this, and they just tear that church up. They're up shouting. They're up, their hands are raised. People are in the aisles. Dorsey's confused. He thinks, this is a very personal song of my personal testimony. I should be the one feeling sorry. But he had sort of captured the grieving of the migrants and all African Americans in Chicago at that time. It was their testimony too. Even among older settler blacks who looked down at the new migrants, you know, thinking they don't know how to act, they don't know how to dress, they don't know how to dot, dot, dot. So this was a group of people who felt like strangers in a strange land. And when you can't even turn sometimes to your own church for guidance because they're whispering prayers and they're singing these lofty anthems, and this is nothing like my Baptist church in the South, where do you turn? And it was, take my hand. And the Lord was the last place to turn. And this was the way that this song connected. And from then on, Take My Hand, Precious Lord became sort of an anthem of grieving and sort of asking for that last bit of help. My only sort of strand of hope is in the Lord.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me
precious Lord, lead me home.
Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Art conveys to others feelings he has experienced, and other people are affected by these feelings and live them over in themselves." And that's the thing, is Dorsey was writing this song as sort of a catharsis for himself. He was getting out all his grief of the loss of his wife and son and calling on the Lord for help. He really was needing that hand to lift him up and lead him on to the light, because there was no light. It was darkness around him at that time. Inadvertently, or through the grace of God, he inspired others to realize that was their message as well. A gospel singer in Chicago named Betty Lester said to me, she said, even in the 40s, 50s, 60s, she said, "Listen, for Black people, sometimes gospel music was all we had. But those songs kept us going." And I think that's what, to Tolstoy's point, art from one person becomes another person's testimony. And it has always seemed to me in gospel, the best songs are written out of times of terrible turmoil in one's life. And these are the songs that just burst out of your soul. And I would say of all of Dorsey's songs, certainly he had hundreds, but Precious Lord has lived so long because it is that catharsis, that last opportunity to really just say, "Help me." It's like Chris Christopherson's, "Help me, Jesus. I don't know where else to turn." And as long as there's trouble in the world, there will be "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."
Take my hand, precious Lord.
And a terrific job on the production, editing, and storytelling by our own Greg Hengler and our own Reagan Habib. And a special thanks to Robert Morovich, the founder and editor of the Journal of Gospel Music, telling the story not just of Thomas Dorsey, but the story of Thomas Dorsey's most precious and most popular song, "Take My Hand, Precious Lord," and how it came to be out of great grief and tragedy. And out of that springs this remarkable song. And when it was played at church soon thereafter, Dorsey didn't expect anything. It was his own personal testimony. But the church exploded because it was their grief he was tapping into. The story of "Take My Hand, Precious Lord" and Thomas Dorsey's story here on Our American Stories.
In 2020, a group of young women found themselves in an AI-fueled nightmare.
Someone was posting photos. It was just me naked. Well, not me, but me with someone else's body parts.
This is Levittown, a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts, Bloomberg, and Kaleidoscope about the rise of deepfake pornography and the battle to stop it. Listen to Levittown on Bloomberg's Big Take podcast. Find it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Clayton English.
I'm Greg Glott.
And this is season two of the War on Drugs podcast.
Yes, sir. Last year, a lot of the problems of the drug war. This year, a lot of the biggest names in music and sports.
This is kind of star-studded a little bit, man.
We met them at their homes. We met them at their recording studios. Stories matter, and it brings a face to it.
It makes it real.
It really does. It makes it real.
Listen to new episodes of the War on Drugs podcast season two on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sam Mullins, and I've got a new podcast coming out called Go Boy, the gritty true story of how one man fought his way out of some of the darkest places imaginable.
Roger Caron was 16 when first convicted.
Has spent 24 of those years in jail.
But when Roger Caron picked up a pen and paper, he went from an ex-con to a literary darling. From Campside Media and iHeart Podcasts, listen to Go Boy on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm ready to fight. Oh, this is fighting words. Okay, I'll put the hammer back.
Hi, I'm George M. Johnson, a best-selling author with the second most banned book in America. Now more than ever, we need to use our voices to fight back.
Part of the power of Black queer creativity is the fact that we got us, you know?
We are the greatest culture makers in world history.
Listen to Fighting Words on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You feeling this too?
is a horror anthology podcast. It brings different creators to tell 10 vile, grotesque,
oh my God,
horrific stories on what scares them the most. You feeling this too? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.